Let us pray. Father and our God, we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor for the opportunity that you've brought us this morning to be in your presence. Lord, we're about to listen to your word. I ask that you speak through me. Speak through me this morning so that I may speak and deliver your words this morning. I ask your Holy Spirit, Lord, to come down, Lord, and tabernacle with us and bless us. So when we leave this place, we will leave filled with the Holy Spirit to go and do your work of whom you've sent. Thank you, Father, this morning, for in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've been here the last 2 weeks when we started the International Month, you would have noticed that the readings, our main text, is taken from the book of Philippians. We've been navigating our way. We've taken excerpts from the book of Philippians. Last week, first we started off with Sister Judith teaching us about living a life worthy of the gospel. Last week, Pastor David John taught us about imitating Christ's humility. In a nutshell, the theme for this year's celebration is the essence of true Christianity. And today we are going to dive into the third chapter of that famous Bible scripture in the book of Philippians, which the Apostle Paul wrote to the people in Philippi. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. We're reading 3 verses from verse 12 to 14. Philippians chapter 3 from verse 12 to 14. I will be reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. And I hope that whatever translation you have, you will be able to follow along. But it's been projected, the New Living Translation. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things, or that I have already reached perfection. But I press, let the church say, I press. I press, let the church say, I press. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us. Amen. That's the word of God. Beloved, for the few minutes I have to speak to you, I would like to speak, teach, and preach on the subject pressing for progress. Let's say that together. Pressing for progress. Pressing. Hello. You're not talking to me today. What happened? Pressing for progress. Let's say that together. Pressing for progress. Good. That's better. In her book titled Reveal, the author, Megan Watterson, said that in every Christian gathering, in every church gathering, there are 4 categories of Christians. Number one, he said you have the Christians who are experimenting. They are exploring Christ. Those are the ones who have not made a commitment yet, a full commitment yet to Christ. They are testing the waters to see whether that this Jesus thing is for real. So they are exploring Christ. Then you have the second category, which are growing in Christ. Those are the people who've made a commitment to Christ. Their lifestyle is starting to change. They are growing. They now have a Bible. They have a cross at their bedside. When you greet them, they're all like, oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. They are saved, but they are not yet fully redeemed. They are half foot is in the world, half foot is in the kingdom. They are still growing in Christ. Then you have the third category, which is they are close to Christ. Those are the ones who've made a full commitment to Christ. Now, they come to church regularly, they read their Bible, they serve in church, every organization you see them, they pay their tithes regularly, they are close to Christ. Then the last category, she said, those are the ones who are centered for Christ. Now, these are the ones who, They are sold out completely for Christ, that they cannot do anything, they cannot make any decision without seeking the face of God. Every decision they have to pray about, everything and anything. Those are the ones who are centered in Christ. Now, if you think I'm going to ask you which category you belong, no. Why? Because the author said there is really no indictment to which category you belong. There is no issue if you're exploring Christ. There is no problem if you are growing in Christ. There is no problem if you are closer to Christ. And definitely there is no problem if you are centered for Christ. Because the ultimate example, the ultimate objective of every Christian believer is to press our way so that we can have a better relationship, so we can have a closer relationship with God. This is what the questions Paul is answering in our text. When he says, no, I have not reached that level yet, but my ultimate goal is to be closer to Christ so that I have a better relationship with Christ, because the kingdom of God is always progressive. The kingdom of God is always growing. The kingdom, there is always room for something. So you want to ask yourself this question now. What do I need to do to actually press my way into the calling of Christ? Paul actually mentioned three things. Last week, Pastor David John said he's noticed that we do three things. Let me give you why. This is a Baptist church, and Baptist preachers always have 3 points. That's why this is a Baptist church. So let me also give you 3 points why we need to press our way, on how we need to press our way so that we can reach that goal. Number one is we have to focus on God with humility. Let's say that together. Focus on God with humility. Now, if you know me, if you've been in this church for a while, you all know that I love football. I support Liverpool. Everything about me is Liverpool. If you go to my house, you will see you will never walk alone. You come to my office, there's a big Liverpool flag there. I love Liverpool. I love football. But it will be interesting for you to note that football is not my favorite sport. My favorite sport is athletics. Why? Because it's an individual sport. It's you. It's just like a Christian. It's your race that you have to run. And athletics, you have to suffer. You have to go through rigorous training for you to attain your goal. And if you are an athlete, you need to have a goal. If you don't have a goal, you can't have a need. Because the goal, the need for that goal is something that actually motivates you for you to reach that goal. So let me give you an example. I love athletics, as I said. In August, we had the World Championships. There's this American sprinter, Noel Lyles. His best event is the 200 meters. His goal in that championship was to break Usain Bolt's record of 19.19. His personal best, what he's ever run, is 19.32. At the games, he could only run 19.52. Now, he beat everybody, but he was disappointed because he did not reach the goal that he set for himself. So he cannot sit on his laurels. He needs to motivate himself more so that I have to pursue that goal. And to pursue that goal, you have to humble yourself. You have to humble yourself. You have to be disciplined to reach that one. So this is what Paul is telling, that no, to reach that goal, I have to do the things which I have to do. Forgetting what I've done, but I have to humble myself, because in the presence of God, you need to come before Him with humility. You need to humble yourself. It doesn't matter how high you are. It doesn't matter how many degrees you have on the wall. But when you are in the presence of God, you need to humble. One of my favorite movies of Indiana Jones is Raiders of the Lost Ark. And Raiders of the Lost Ark, to get into the temple, they said only the penitent will pass. What is the penitent? A penitent man is a man who's humble. A penitent man is a man who has humility. A penitent man is a man who kneels in the presence of God. So when you are, irrespective of whatever, to actually focus on God with humility, you have to humble yourself. Now, when I was in high school, there was a lady in Scripture Union who came and said, she has gone the whole day without sinning. Even at 12 years old, I knew that was... I'm like, girl, how did you know you did not sin? But believe you me, that's they are found in the church. There are Christians in the church who have such kind of attitude. They behave like the Pharisee. And this is what the principle of Jesus actually talks about. That the tax collector and the Pharisee. Pharisee went to pray and say, I'm not like those. But I pay my tithes, I fast. And the tax collector went before them like, Almighty God, have mercy on me, because I'm a sinner. Now, if you are here in front of this church this morning and you have that idea that you have not seen that all is well for you, glory be to God for you. But I'm not preaching to you right now. But I want to talk to somebody who knows that we approach God, that we need God's touch today, we need God's touch tomorrow, we need God's touch every minute, because every day of the lives we need to humble ourselves with the presence of God so that we can be able to reach our goal. Amen. You focus on God with humility. Now, what's the second one? He says, the second point that you need to do to achieve that point, do not allow your past progress to hinder success. Do not allow your past progress to hinder success. Please put on the text again and let's read verse 13. Last 14. When you see the text, you can see that Paul is answering a question. The Bible did not say what question was asked, but Paul was asking verse 13. He said, no, dear brothers and sisters. That means something was asked to him for him to say, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Now, pay attention. Forgetting the past and looking forward. Now, let me make a clarification. Many times, people misuse and misquote this text. Now, as Christians, when we are being delivered, yes, we need to forget about the bad things and move forward because Christ has delivered us. But this is not what Paul is talking about here. What Paul is talking about is not about his bad past, but he's talking about his glorious past, things that he has achieved in life, things, sanctified trophies that he has gained. What he's saying that, no, I need to forget that I've won all these accolades and focus on the things that are ahead, because there is a tendency, if I keep it in my head, I will not do what I have to do and I will never reach my goal. That is what. So you forget the past. You forget your past success. You forget your past progress and focus on the things, because believe it or not, God is not through with you yet. That should have been an amen there. God is not through with you yet. God still has some things lined up for you. I don't know what you'll be thinking, that maybe your degree got you the job, so yes, you can sit on your laurels. Not because I have money, my bank account is filled. No, God is not done with you yet. Jesus gave us an example about the parable of the rich fool who stored his barn. He stored all the grains and he said, oh, my barns are filled. Now I can eat, now I can drink, now I can marry. And God said, you fool, tonight your soul is mine. God had planned for him, but he thought that he has already reached there. Christian friends, we can never attain that goal if we keep reminding ourselves about our past progress. We can never reach the prize if we can still remind ourselves about God. God has this plan for us. And the problem is this. There are self-righteous people in the church who have attained such kind of level, and they think that it gives them the audacity to criticize or judge somebody else who has not reached their level, and they forget that God is not done with you yet. Christian friends, God still has some work left in you. There are still some ministries to be filled. There are still some more sermons to be preached. There are still some more souls to win. There are still some more maturity to be done. There are still some lives that needs to be transformed. God is not done with you yet. So once you forget about those past accolades, you will be able to focus on the prize and to reach your goal. Amen? Amen. Now the third part in verse 14. He said, after I forget the past, I press on to reach the heavenly prize. What is the heavenly prize? The heavenly goal. What is that heavenly prize? The heavenly prize is that moment when that Himi says, When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the time shall reach no more, and the morning breaks eternal life afar. When the crowd diverse will line up in the sea ashore, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, what is that roll? That roll call that your name will be written in the Lamb's book of life. That's the roll call. Now, when that roll, when that trumpet shall sound, will you be there? This is what Paul is talking about. I have not achieved. What I try to do is to actually press my way so that my name will be written in the Lamb's book of life. Because Paul recognized that he himself had struggles in his life. We all know what happened in Acts of the Apostles chapter 15. When Paul and Barnabas were separated over a disagreement with John Mark. Paul, the one who wrote the scripture about forgiveness, Paul was willing to forgive John Mark. Paul still had struggles in life. And the only way we can actually say is to press our way so we can have a better relationship with God. So how do we measure that press? How do we know that we are changing? How do we measure it? Let me give you the few times we have remaining. I know that you are pressing your way by your sacrifice for Christ. You're pressing your way by your sacrifice for Christ. How much are you willing to sacrifice for the kingdom of God? How much are you willing to forego for the kingdom of God? I know you are pressing your way closer to Christ by your sacrifice for Christ. Number two, by the way you share Christ. By the way Jesus is on your lips. Now, is Jesus the center of your world? Because we are under a divine assignment to share the name of Jesus Christ to those who don't know it. Those who don't know that name of Jesus Christ, that wonderful name. We have to share the name of Christ. How do I know you're pressing your way? Number three, we have to show love for Christ. We show the love of Christ to other people. We show the love of Christ to other people. Jesus said in John 13, verse 35 and 34, 35, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciple if you love one another. Let's say that together. Love one another. Love one another. By that love, remember in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul spoke about the three gifts, the fruits of the gifts: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest commandment of them is love. By love for Christ. Now, number four. When we were in Sunday school, we used to sing a song. Read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. So how do I know? How do you measure that you are growing closer to Christ? It's when you read your Bible and you pray. You read your Bible and you pray. How much time do you spend reading the Word of God? The Word of God needs to be in your mouth. The Word of God needs to be in your soul. The Word of God needs to be everywhere you go. You need to spend time reading the Word of God and to pray. Jesus oftentimes leaves his disciples and goes into a corner and prays, because prayer is the key of access. Prayer is what we use. It's the medium of communication to God through the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to pray. And lastly, how do I know that you're pressing your way? It's how much time you spend worshiping for Christ. How much time do you spend worshiping for Christ? How much time do you spend to worship? Contrary to what you believe, worship does not begin and end in the church. Worship does not begin and end in the church. As a matter of fact, worship does not mean that how many times you come to church. Because pursuing the call of Christ and discipleship development has nothing to do with your Sunday statistics. You spend time. What God intended for worship is not in the sanctuary, but is by your bedside under the roof that you live in. Christian friends, worship should be spent at home, and the church should be a performance presentation of what you've been practicing from Monday to Saturday. When you come to church, you are presenting yourself of what you've been practicing from Monday to Saturday. Now I know. Now I understand why people come to church, they're struggling to even say amen. Now I know
why people struggle to even lift up their hands. Now I know why people struggle to even say hallelujah. Now I know why people struggle to worship in church. Because they've not been doing it at home. But Christian friends, if you are somebody who knows how to worship at home, you don't need Novel Cement Choir. You don't need a keyboard. You don't need the drums. You don't need cymbals. You worship God with sleep in your eye. You worship God with drool running out of your mouth. Because the Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Christian friends, you worship God irrespective of where you are. You worship God in your church. You worship God in your house. You worship God in a place of work. You worship God in the spirit. Last week, I gave a sister a ride. And right the moment she entered my car, there was a worship song that came on. And she forgot that I was giving her a ride. She started worshiping and praising God. That's, you know, that is a worshiper. When you come to the house of God, you don't even need the praise and worship leader to say, lift your hands, let's worship. No, you worship because it's natural. It's what you've been doing at home. Now, let me close with this. I had a friend called Jack in school. Jack, when they invite us to go for parties, when we were in high school, if you go to Jack's house, Jack will be playing music and Jack will be dancing. So I'm like, Jack, what are you doing? He said, there's a party. I said, yes, I know. I'm practicing. Jack will be dancing. Every hour, Jack plays music, Jack will be dancing. And when we go to the party, everybody's sitting down and Jack enters the party. Jack is already dancing. Because he's been dancing from home, and when he comes, he's already in the dancing mood. Christian friends, I'm not talking about Jack. I'm talking about your worship. That on your way to worship, you have to start worshiping at home. On your way to prayer, you have to start praying at home. So that when you enter the edifice, you don't need somebody to tell you how to pray. You are already in the mood of dancing. You are already in the mood of worshiping. You are already in the mood of praising. Praise be to God. And somebody here is looking at me for telling them that that's the end of your sermon. Stand up and start worshiping God. I don't need to tell you to lift up your hands. I don't need to tell you to pray. Just be on your feet and start telling God, God, I love you because I need to be closer to you. I just said, stand and let's praise God. Believe me, Christian friends, we need to press our way to the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is always progressing. Now we are in November. It's coming to December. It's coming to the end of the year. That time when we make our resolutions, our New Year resolutions, your ultimate resolution should be like Paul, to finish the race well, to finish that race. I press towards the mark of a high calling, so that at the end of the day, when I reach and claim that prize, my reward will be, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Focus on God with humility. Do not allow your past success to hinder your progress. And lastly, keep pursuing the call of Christ. You cannot do this on your own. You need the Holy Spirit to be with you. You cannot do this on your own. You need Jesus to be at your center of your world. Have you made Jesus the center of your world? If you are not, it's time to do it. Because without Jesus, you are nothing. Press on. Press on. Press on. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the opportunity that we know that we have to focus on you with humility, that we will not allow our past progress to hinder our success. And we need to finish the race by pursuing you in every day of our life. Lord, I pray for the souls listening, those who need you right now. Lord, I need you to come into their hearts, Lord. Lord, show them the way, whether they are exploring or whether they are getting closer to you or whether they are growing. You help them to grow. So that at the end of the day, you will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into my eternal rest. Thank you, Father, for this one. And as we go, we ask that your Holy Spirit abide with us wherever we may go. So we come back to give you praise and glory unto your name. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Somebody just say amen and amen.